and 96.7 FM, The Tick.
Previously on Bad Radio. And someone was talking, we were discussing the three things about Inception that keep it from having a chance, and I forgot number three. It was lots of effects, lots of popularity, but then the third one, which is science fiction. And I think of those three together.
And four, it already won for Dances with Wolves.
Dances with Wolves is Inception? What are you saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that their criteria for things are very different than the rest of the world. We're all just lay people out here, you know, watching movies and not real. We have opinions, but these folks make movies. So they can get into the subtleties.
Yeah, they look at editing and lighting and
everything. All the nuances of filmmaking come into play. So, you know, cut them some slack.
Well, okay.
I don't know what you just explained to me,
but how does Inception and Dances with Wolves relate?
They're totally different movies. Totally different types of movies. But they can break it down and say that was a good movie, that was a bad movie, insofar as those top 10 movies. They can do that. That's their world. Just like you can break down Chicago's defense versus Dallas's defense.
I'm happy to.
So
I'm certainly happy to do that. Did Lord of the Rings Lord of the Rings won, right?
The third one did.
Man, this is right, yo. Good with the hot sauce, too, though.
Most definitely.
Yo, Dick, you want some nuggets?
Nah, go ahead, man.
Man, whoever is these, yo, he off the hook.
What?
My got the bone all the way out the damn chicken. Till he came along, he's been chewing on drumsticks and getting their fingers all greasy. He said, later for the bone. Snugger that meat up and make some real money.
You think the man got paid?
Who?
Man who invented these.
He richer than them all.
Why? You think he get a percentage?
Why not?
But please, the man who invented them things, just some sad ass down at the basement of McDonald's. Thinking of some to make some money for the real player.
Nah, man, that ain't right.
Right? It ain't about right, it's about money. Now, you think Ronald McDonald gonna go down that basement and say, hey, Mr. Nugget, you the bomb. We selling chicken faster than you can tear the bone out. So I'm gonna write my clowny ass name on this fat ass check for you. And the who invented them things, still working in the basement for regular wage, thinking of some to make the fries taste better, some like that. Believe.
Still have the idea, though.
Hi, this is Mike Reiner of The Hardline here. This is not funny. I don't know why these guys do it, but here goes. It's so wacky FM, it's ridiculous.
Here, start over. Let me start over here. Okay. Can I just go?
Yeah, it's wrong.
Hi, this is Mike Reiner of The Hardline, and this is one of those things. It's so wacky FM, it's unbelievable. It's not funny. I don't know why these boys do it, but here goes. I never ever listen to bad radio.
I only came here to do two things, man. Kick some ass and drink some beer. Looks like we're almost out of beer.
I'm a big stats guy.
Right about now, Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket presents the Bob and Dan Radio Show.
Oh, no, boys.
Good.
Oh, no, boys.
Good. Today, Michael Irvin heard a drunk guy say that Tom Brady to Dallas would be kind of tight, and now that's somehow a story. The guy from Joker is mad about how we get cows pregnant and then take their milk for our cereal, and it turns out Lane Johnson really can't lay off the juice. Also, what is a minor Julie Dobb, Jacob Campanari, if you don't have an announcement, you guys who have their fingers crossed. Today's announcement is the triumphant return of Tay Zonde to a Ticket event. It's Bob Sturman, Dammy Dowd.
Yes, don't find it.
Yeah.
So it's Monday. It is February 10th, 2020. It's the Bob and Dan Radio Show. Live today. Did I say that right?
No.
Episode 5069. Shorty.
Nice.
Very nice. 5:55.
So it's been 69 since we were at the Alamo Draft House celebrating show 5,000. Since then, we did a 69.
Get busy living or get busy dying, you know? You know what I'm saying?
That seems like a long time ago, doesn't it?
Well,
I guess
about 10 weeks.
We had vacation
Maso
Menos in there,
vacation,
right?
Yeah.
The 69.
No, wait a minute.
30,
wait a minute. That's 14 weeks. We do five shows a
33
week.
Days. A month. How many days are in a month? 33?
Something like that.
Anybody know?
But only about 20 shows.
No one really knows.
Depends on the whole leap year deal.
It's the whole show thing, and then it's do you leave for too long during vacation and blah, blah, stuff, you know.
Did you guys hear there's a major ticket station announcement at 3:30 today?
What?
Or 3:35? How does that work?
Eastern?
No, Central Time. It's not written by our... It's not written on a promo that they hand us where we have to say Central Time. I would assume that everybody is thinking in Central Time. The best time zone I've ever lived in.
Central?
Yeah, I've never lived on the West Coast, but it seems like that'd be weird if games started that early.
Agreed.
It is weird, but it's also pretty sweet because like when I've been out there visiting people, having that first game at 10 and then the other game is over and you still, like the night game is over and it's still relatively early.
So my nice place to visit, but you wouldn't want to live in that or would you?
I think this is a determiner on whether or not you care about going out, right?
Yeah.
Because the whole premise of that is, hey, the game's over, we can still go out.
Yeah, I mean, honestly now it's more just that watching football until 11 o'clock at night usually kind of sucks.
Which is why the Eastern Zone is the worst of the zones.
Terrible.
Even though they are the most self-important and positive that they're doing it right and everybody else is doing it wrong. They have such things as the 11 o'clock news.
Do you wish?
8:30 or 9 o'clock tip-offs or kickoffs routinely.
If the Pilgrims landed on the West Coast.
Ooh.
Have you ever sat and thought about this? Seriously.
If Plymouth Rock would have landed on them.
Like if ever
that.
if the first settlers were out there, would the East Coast kind of be barren? Like we all ran to the West Coast because it's so awesome and there's
Gold.
There's gold, but then the weather, right? I mean,
legal,
and the weed is legal, so everything is more awesome to the West. That's why there's continually a migration that way. Like, no one would have gone to Cleveland and been like, yeah, let's make this a big city. It's only because it was seeping out from the East Coast that Cleveland became a thing. No one would live in Buffalo.
Dan, but it's all perspective. If you're leaving England.
But if you were on the West Coast, you would have never said, oh, I got to get over there and settle in Buffalo. Like, there would never have been expansion of the major leagues. All the baseball teams would still be west of the Mississippi.
But if you need anything, like from another country, where are you going to go?
Well, I don't know about world geography, so what's that way? Nothing?
Well, I mean, you'd run into, like, China.
Certainly something.
It would take a long time, and then, you know, you got a pretty rough route to South America.
So in your exercise, the Pilgrims are Chinese?
Yeah, so are we now.
Okay.
We'd be kind of Chinese. Okay. I don't know. I'm just saying, white people or whatever just landed over there first.
Yeah, but they,
I just feel they would have been like, this is awesome. We're never leaving here.
Also, it would have been really tough. You know, when they run into the Rockies, they're probably like, man, is it really worth it?
So they just stay there.
Yeah. Got to be like, this is pretty sweet.
There'd be like
here.
A billion people over there and we'd be there. Dude, we live in L.A. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, but I still think you're underrating like the value of, say, leaving Liverpool or Southampton or Manchester or something like that. And then going to Boston and saying,
so that's way better weather than...
I love this climate. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just
so
throwing it out there.
Liverpool is like...
disgusting.
I don't know the climate there.
Well, I mean,
it's
not
rainy?
That unlike the Northeast, except there are, I believe, way fewer sunny days.
Does it snow?
Way more rainy days. And if you just turn on any English television, especially a sporting event, you'll see how everybody is super, super pasty. Because they live in a climate where you just don't get a whole lot of sun.
And if you get to Jamestown.
And so, yes, L.A. is better than Boston, but Boston is probably better than where they came from, is what I'm saying. And that's all you're comparing it to.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not saying, man, let's swing around the Cape of Good Hope all the way down at the bottom of South America to come up that west side. No, they're in a boat that barely moves at any sort of rate. So they were looking for land. And if once they got there, they're like, okay, all right. Kind of like the Celtics, you know? I mean, there's some things here I like.
The fact that New York or whatever has a summer, like England doesn't have a...
Well, it has a summer, but it's just, it's a rainy climate way more so than the northeast part of the U.S.
Also, the northeast part of the U.S. eventually has a Florida when you start working south, whereas if you're in Liverpool, you're kind of just...
You know, you're looking over at, you know...
How big
continental
is England?
Europe.
As a... what could it fit in Texas? We've determined Germany could fit in Texas easy.
I'm going to say England could fit in Texas, yes. Although I'm totally flying blind. And
how did
now,
that tiny little
now,
piece of land become
like our show has
so
become
in charge
famous,
of everything?
You have to decide, do I believe this guy?
Well, I actually have this website bookmarked for the last time I screwed this up. Because there's a website that has every country compared to Texas.
Of course there is.
So, yeah, you could probably fit almost two, a little over two of the UK in Texas.
Two England.
Oh, hold on. The whole UK.
What's that mean?
Well, so now we're talking Scotland and Wales and the whole bit. I was just thinking England, but now we're talking the entire island, Jake?
Yeah, I think so.
Or it's islands?
Texas as a percentage of the United Kingdom, square miles, 287%.
So
almost three times bigger.
This is where Dumas comes in handy.
So in conclusion, we've not only determined that the central time zone is the best and kick ass, but also our state, we're the best.
In the best country.
Like we're better than the whole country of England. And England used to run the whole world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's awesome living here, dude.
So
3:30 is the announcement today.
Even when you're driving around on Saturday or Sunday, though, and it's kind of rainy and it's kind of chilly, but it's still like 50. And I say to myself every time, this never gets old, Texas winter.
It's not bad.
It's awesome.
It'll last a few days.
The
it
worst
depends
day.
On where you grew up. But you're okay. Back
yes,
to your
that's
point.
What I'm saying.
So if you grew up in England... Then you find yourself in Boston. You're like, this is the greatest ever.
Right.
Look at this awesome weather.
Oh, who cares? A little snow,
and if you
no
grow up
deal.
In Cleveland or Wisconsin.
Look at all this clam chowder.
These people seem excited to take these blankets. This is going great.
So England had guns first? Is that why they just ruled everything?
I don't know about first, but certainly gunpowder was...
I don't think weapons were firing too much before the Pilgrims, dude. I think your timeline's off there.
Yeah, but somehow they had the guns and the Indians didn't, so they
well, they didn't just show up at Plymouth Rock and just take over North America. It was a bit more of a process. Because you're 1620 to even the American Revolution in 1776. There's a lot of things we fit in there. A lot of seasons of The Bachelor. Just a lot of things to do between in those 150 years.
Basically, they were in charge because they were a holdover from an uncapped league that had three teams in it, like the Celtics of the 50s or 60s or whatever. There was just no competition. And then once they ran into parity, it's like, oh, geez, we are in over our heads.
Right.
So basically... Before we could become the awesome country we are, we had to get rid of all the witches and stuff, and like you burned and drowned them.
Right, and the dinosaurs.
Kind of cleansed everything and then moved on.
So is Jake okay? Isn't that where we need to go here?
Yes, we need to follow up on the Friday
into pizza.
Jake Pizza Challenge, where, of course, he originally said he could eat three large pizzas in one sitting.
I don't know.
TC expressed some skepticism.
Laughter, the best medicine.
And how many? So you embarked upon that journey on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Pizzas bought by Bob and Dan Enterprises.
Broadcasted multiple vomits.
Oh wait, I guess I bought them because I lost the bet, right?
You kind of did.
You never had to Venmo me.
No, I had to Venmo Corby though.
Because he wouldn't accept me paying for you.
Right. You made that clear.
You had to pay money after doing all of that?
I got the pizza.
Oh.
So it's kind of just like I bought lunch.
Yeah, he also
still got Kobe.
Some debts were wiped clean.
Blow me up.
Okay.
Let's just, or not blow me up.
You know. Wait, what? What was your Kobe point?
He still won the Kobe bet.
Yeah.
Oh, the many Kobe bets, yeah. The parlay on the under on that day.
Right. Hit big.
Give it all back. I think Dr. Laura might
Did
be
you
right.
see the four-team under parlay on the XFL?
No.
You could have done that.
No, it's pure right
Every
there.
One of those went
I'll
under this
XFL.
Weekend. Every one of them went under, so that will be adjusted for week two, but there was a real opportunity there for you, Jake.
So
not for the same reason that yours worked out.
Right.
The XFL did not have a 24-second violation in honor of Mamba mentality or anything like that.
So I what, Dan?
So you started trying to eat three whole pizzas about this time on Friday. How far did you get? How many... If you had to tally, did you finish two whole pizzas or was there like a whole one left over?
So there's eight slices to a pizza. And when I initially vomited, I was putting slice 15 in my mouth and there was still probably
so you got through two.
Well,
before two.
Right. Just before I had a full slice and then I vomited on the second, on the penultimate slice. And there was also still, I think, four crusts from pizza one left. So I got about...
So not only did you not eat three whole pizzas in a sitting, you did not eat two whole pizzas in a sitting.
Yeah, but right. He ate 15 slices, which sounds a lot better than saying you didn't eat two whole pizzas.
But he didn't eat two, did he?
Well, after I puked,
that's true.
I got down to where there were crusts and three slices left. So I almost finished three, but of course I had already been DQ'd.
So you actually ate enough more after the vomit, like you almost ate a whole nother pizza.
Well, I was hungry.
He was defiant in his loss. Let's just put it that way. He was like William Wallace at the end of Braveheart.
He was like the...
Still yelling as they're quartering him.
Come back with the shielder on it.
I feel like you were like the 2018 Rangers.
Never ever quit?
Never ever quit.
I was inspired by my future father-in-law, and that's what I wanted to honor. So I didn't leave here until about 4 because I couldn't walk. I tried a couple times and was real. I was woozy.
So you know TC was videoing a lot and taking pictures from... A good vantage point.
He was bordering on not being a good friend.
I don't know if it was Jason or the P1 Domo on Twitter or maybe both, but there were some good music montages.
No, people had fun with it for sure.
Which just showed him as, you know.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Now, the best one, I don't know, what's that song called? The dun, 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 dun.
The Chariots of Fire.
Yeah, Chariots of Fire. And then it just had the record scratched to me vomiting.
No, Trey, it wasn't Vampire Weekend.
So I got home, and I just wanted to sit there and do nothing. I was like, man, I'm not eating dinner tonight. That was probably around 5.
I'm going to grab a pizza on the way home, honey.
But then by about 8, wife was like, hey, I'm going to go grab myself some food. And I said, I'll take some enchiladas.
Wow.
Got back in the game.
Here's my question, because when I was a kid, once mom said... Hey, it's New Year's Eve. We're having New Year's Eve at home. We're going to bang pots and pans at midnight, and we're going to drink some grape juice, which looks like champagne. Kind of like smoking fake cigarettes, right? Like, hey, want to get you guys ready to be adults. You're going to have to drink alcohol when you're older, so let's do some fake alcohol.
Going to have to.
So she said, anything you want. Your favorite food, that's all you can. You can have it. That's your meal. And I said, I want cocktail shrimp. Because I loved a shrimp cocktail, and it was always like a big treat if you could order one out. And so she bought a ton of it, and I just didn't stop eating it, like much like Jake.
And it cured you.
I didn't eat shrimp again for like 6 years because I was so disgusted. It made me feel so sick. I really overate. I was given that opportunity, and I did. There was no bet. There was no radio show or anything. But I'm wondering now, does this mean... You can't look at a piece of pizza right now.
No, I wanted it Saturday night. We went to dinner before Danny's show at the Kessler, and I wanted one, but I also noticed they were pretty big, and they only had one size, and the wife and I were splitting something to eat, because then, you know, you're going to go gas a million beers, and it was she didn't want it. She was like, I'm not doing pizza. I just watched you vomit it yesterday. It was enough to make her not want it.
I don't want it.
But not me.
For a long, long, long time.
You channeled, though, the spirit of the ferret.
Right.
Where you decided to get right back on.
Yeah.
Get right
so
back
no
on.
So no one around you wants pizza because they're so disgusted by you. You're ready right now.
I'm ready right now, and I don't know if we'll do this on the air at some point or not. Maybe ticket stock or something. My performance was so poor, I have people doubting me regarding thin crust. So I'm going to have to set the record straight on that one for no money, because I think you guys know I could do that easily. So three thin crust is light work. But wow. You guys could do that if you wanted to.
Here he goes again. Very confident.
Here he does go again. I mean,
declaring something light work. After Friday.
I think the grease might make you sick, though, on the thin crust.
The grease will make you sick, but you can get it down. The bread, I was literally gagging. You know, I got to a point where every piece of bread I put in my mouth, I would gag. And so that's...
You okay, Julie?
That's no, another level.
I'm struggling with grease. All of this.
Last thing, I kind of wish that we would have set it up to where I had the intern bring me a pizza per hour fresh. He had nothing to do on Friday, because by 1:30, that second pizza was cardboard.
You're right.
And I tried to heat it up, but it was still disgusting. And if I had a fresh pie every hour, I think I would have been able to get a little bit further.
What do you think of going sausage first, though?
I went pep first. I went pep first.
I just thought sausage in hour three was just too much for your stomach to handle. I kind of sensed that when you tried to boot and rally after the news, I blame the meat. For looking at you like it did and causing you to tap out.
I never knew eating so much, though, could make you start talking like you do if you drink so much. Like, by the end of the show, he was like, couldn't even utter words.
Yeah, I was confused. And I really did not
feel throwing up that much.
Throwing up would make you disoriented, but I just really felt like I could not get in my car and drive. I had to wait it out.
Jeez.
That's amazing.
It was his...
Like, eating and driving would be, that's, you're driving under the influence of pizza.
Yeah.
It was this Kellen Winslow game.
Spalding! Spalding!
A couple teammates got underneath each arm and just got them to the locker room.
I guess I don't know what you mean, because nowadays when you say Kellen Winslow, I think of the guy that plowed over a couple people and killed them.
You're old enough to know that his dad was far and away the superior athlete and human. And was once the hero of a playoff game, carried off by his teammates.
So this is not the parking lot thing?
Now see...
Where he's watching a lady...
Kemp spin, this makes sense.
Take her groceries to her car with his pants down?
That's his son.
Oh.
And I don't know what sort of parenting strategies led us down this road.
Yeah, he wasn't that great of a man if he'd raised that kid.
Yeah, he blocked the field goal, though. Caught a couple touchdowns. Those all matter. There's Bobby Carpenter, Dan.
Is that your jersey?
It's our friend Bobby Carpenter down there.
Was that the fake jersey you had?
The Kellen Winslow jersey?
Who'd you have? What am I thinking of? I don't know.
What are you speaking of?
I don't know.
What's right, next?
Let's get out of here. Solid pacing, guys, for the 12-10. We're off to a fine start. All right, let's get going. I look at my run sheet, and I see the XFL waits for us on the other side. Next.
Hold on to your butts, P1s. It's major station announcement time. Get by the channel or stream the stream this afternoon at 3:30 during the Hardline. Don't say we didn't warn you. From Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Tick. A big L and I ain't talking about Cool J. See me at the airport at least 20 Louis.
Treat me like the prince and it's my sweet brother. The Ticket invites you to dine at the District at the Shops at Willow Bend, your destination for dining. Text DINE to 22126 for your chance to win a $100 gift card from Terra Mediterranean with their fresh flavors and authentic ingredients. DINE. Text it to 22126. Brought to you by the District, located at the Shops at Willow Bend. All right, it is noon 40. We have a program planned for you today, which will include some Oscars stuff, some other TiVo stuff you need to be aware of, and football. We will start with actual football that is being played now. Spring football.
Yes.
And trying to think what my reaction was in 2001 when they had an XFL.
I think I know.
Probably didn't care for it.
I think you have been solidly con every single time there's been a startup football league or maybe a startup sport of any kind that you didn't have familiarity with. I think you've been very consistent over the years.
I am resistant to change.
You are resistant to change. You are.
And I will believe it when I see it as far as the next big thing is concerned or whatever. Not that anybody's really saying that about this league. But they're saying maybe it could work. I don't know. Could it? But it was kind of fun. Yeah?
I
don't know if the shine's going to wear off it pretty quick. But it was, you know, there were games on this weekend. I was more tuned into the Dallas game than any of the other ones. I recorded Joel Klatt, but didn't really end up watching him.
Those were probably the two games I watched the most. The Joel Klatt game and then the Renegades.
Some things look cool. Like, I thought the kickoffs looked really cool. Just the fact that nobody moves until the guy catches the kickoff. And then was trying to debate it in my head. Would this cut down on injuries if we did this? Because, you know, it seemed like you can't get the head of steam that you get running 50 yards downfield. You can only run 10 yards or so, right?
Yeah. Is this... This is pretty much all we're going to talk about this, right?
So, what?
Well, I was trying to decide if I could have, if I should use this space for actual Dallas takes as it ties into.
Like how good the team is and stuff?
Well.
Because, man, they didn't cover.
No, I mean, they were the Vegas favorites. Stop your mocking. They were the Vegas favorites to win the league. But they were also the only team to lose at home this weekend, and the only team to start a backup quarterback, as I can gather.
No, L.A. did.
Oh, they started a backup as well?
L.A.'s quarterback was Josh Johnson.
Oh.
He's been on 15 teams and has lots of NFL experience, but he's also 35 and was hurt, which is how we ended up with a kid from, I think, Princeton.
What was his name?
Canoff, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. There were a bunch of players in the league this weekend that I was familiar with, which I was very, you know, that made me somewhat feeling like I had my bearings. For instance, the St. Louis quarterback, I guess it's Tamu or whatever. But we watched him play for Ole Miss for several seasons, and if you were a guy looking at both of the first round or second round picks, Metcalf and Brown in the last draft, you were watching a quarterback that could not get them the ball very consistently, and that's this guy. And so I'm familiar with his work. I'm familiar with Fitzgerald, who was apparently his backup for St. Louis, so they have an Ole Miss and a Mississippi State quarterback as their quarterbacks. And you just start looking around the league, and you're like, oh, I know this guy. I know this is what happened to this guy.
Dude, at one point, people thought Cardale Jones was going to win a Heisman.
That's right.
I mean, he was a big deal until he got lost in the mix there. They put up a ton of points in the first game on Saturday.
And invariably, it all does come back to, so you're telling me this guy isn't better than Cooper Rush. I'm sorry that Cooper Rush has to feel this.
That's what I was wondering about Landry Jones, just reading a story about him before. Like, I didn't realize he was, like, working for a Fort Worth construction company.
Audio to follow.
If we have
time. Yeah, yeah. But he was, I think his words yesterday during the broadcast was he was building tables, which, you know, I'm told is very fulfilling. Just get that wood right. But he said it had very few applications to quarterbacking. Because I think Pat McAfee asked him, what'd you learn in your time away from football? But I think that's a good measuring stick for the league, right? Landry Jones is the face of the XFL.
Yeah.
And so did you think he was a good quarterback at the NFL level?
No, but I thought he was a good backup or a fair backup, right?
Yeah, I guess. I feel like once he left Norman, I didn't have just a whole lot of Landry Jones takes, but that's probably because I wasn't diving too deep in the Steelers world and whatever. But, you know, overall, it's tough to have any real thoughts on Dallas because it appeared their offense was very ineffective. The Hell Mummy air raid or whatever. This is the thing about the air raid. They'll tell you it's super simplistic and it's just there's not that many plays, and it's not that difficult to go through the entire playbook or call plays or get the signals in or anything like that. But when you throw it almost 50 times for barely 200 yards, that's when you're like, okay, all right.
Did you have to wonder when the league began, like, and they're calling up Hal Mummy, who was just sitting there doing nothing? How into it? Stoops, too.
Well, Bob Stoops is massive because it
how
gives...
How real into it,
gives,
it they are?
Well, it gives your entire league credibility, but at the same time, you had Spurrier last year in the AAF, and...
it's like when you hired...
Who else? Was Neuheisel a coach last year?
You hire Avery Johnson to be part of your car dealership for the name on it. Is he really putting in any hours there at the car dealership? Or the restaurant that an athlete puts his name on...
And I don't know,
that's
but...
That's what I wonder about Bob Stoops and Hal Mummy. Those names are awesome.
Well, there's a group of coaches, but, right? Here's the effects. If everybody in the NFL is looking for the next young offensive mind, that means a lot of older offensive minds now don't have gigs. And not every coach makes $6 or $8 million for a decade straight like Jason Garrett. So some of these guys are like, man... It's only going to take a couple hundred grand to get me out,
sure.
You know, and I assume that's what Hal Mummy's probably, what would I guess, 200 to be the OC for Dallas, maybe something like that.
But he's not sleeping at the office like he used to.
No.
You know?
No, and you know, Bob Stoops isn't either. And you know, if I had a bad Bob Stoops take recently, it's that I assumed he was looking for a way back in, all the way into the NFL. Then the Cowboys opening came and went, and, you know, it did not appear that he was anything more than a tweet in terms of NFL consideration, and I guess that kind of surprised me a little bit. I thought the Cowboys might look at him, but he always said he had no interest in that, so maybe that's the truth, you know? So there's a few more things we should talk about, maybe play just a little bit of audio. So I know we wanted to move to the NFL here quickly, but let's carry this over if you don't mind.
Yeah, cool.
All right.
The abrasive over-the-top Corby Davidson and someone we don't even know right now. This afternoon on The Hardline, 3 till 7 on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Tick.
Someone we don't know? What does that mean?
Hello. I don't know.
Oh. I've waited here okay. for you. Well, it is Monday. The bad radio program for you. Coming off a victorious Friday where Jake was not victorious in the pizza challenge, but it was a victorious Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Nonetheless.
It was just great to see him live, you know?
The intern is pulling a tray.
Like you're going to see Red Panda. Now, she may drop something. We're not saying it's going to be perfect, but you're going to see her live. Are you in?
Of course.
As some P1 on Twitter said, much like when Norm was talking to Rob Reiner, the fake minor league pitcher, maybe the real winner is all the friends we made along the way.
All right. So, man, that was awesome. That was a great way to end the week. And really a great service for pizza in general. So real quick, a little more XFL. I just wanted to play this for you. There's probably a million things we could have played, but... I did get a kick out of Landry Jones, normal guy with McAfee here. So if we can play this, let's try it here and see.
5 years with the Steelers. Then were you working construction is what I heard, and then you came out here?
Yeah. So kind of fell into doing some construction stuff. Started making tables in the offseason and stuff like that. And then just really liked doing it. And I was like, well, if I'm going to do it, I do it after football, let's get some experience in doing it.
What did you learn from being away from the game that you've taken back here?
I don't know if I learned anything in the construction that correlates correlates over to football, but it was really fun ripping up drywall and replacing tubs and doing all that stuff.
That's what the XFL is all about, Tom.
Ringo,
a redemption story. Landry Jones is one of the faces of this league, was ripping up drywall just a few months ago, and he's going to sling it next week for the Dallas Renegades. Yeah. Big first down pickup for Phil Nelson.
So basically he loves demo day is what he loves, Jake. Which that's my favorite day, too. Don't know about you guys. But
I was reading an article about him.
Yes, sir.
So apparently when he first, you know, was realizing none of the NFL teams are giving me a bite was about this time last year. He reached out to John Huffman, the owner of Black Door Renovation. They were a company that was remodeling Landry Jones's home.
Okay.
So they're in there drawing up plans to do your home, and he said, hey, I kind of admit, I like construction stuff. Are you hiring? And, you know, he knows Landry Jones is like big-time guy, you know, famous.
Sure.
To an extent, and thought, yeah, nothing really that you'd fit into, you know, no management positions or anything. And he's like, well, what do you got? And he goes, well, we have a...
just want to swing a hammer, bruh.
We have we need the guy to drive the dump truck trailer with the demolition debris, then bring it to the landfill. And it's a minimum wage job. And he said, I'm in. I want it.
Wow.
So he just wanted to do something, you know, stay busy, I guess. And I don't know. You would think that Landry Jones could have gone out and just found another job, certainly with his name.
Yeah. High school OC.
Whatever.
What's Rhett Bomar doing?
But he decided...
He's not that car dealership anymore.
I don't know. Fox Sports Southwest. Don't they love... You know, you love ex-athletes on your...
Yeah, but he said right there that what he wanted to do post-football was get into remodeling and stuff. Like, that's what he wants. That's his passion.
And he was, I guess, not happy to, but he did start at the very bottom. Like, hey, I'll learn it from the bottom up, you know?
I don't want your shortcuts, because I'm Sooner Man. It reminds you of the Aaron...
Kind of cool, but of course a startup football league called you. Okay.
Oh, if they want to make you face of the league, that's pretty flattering.
Yeah, no, you can learn construction in a couple more years.
Or in a couple more months when the off season hits. It reminds me of the Aaron Hernandez documentary because...
But people would recognize him.
Which one?
You know what I mean? He's walking in their house to tear their sink apart or something. And
Odin? What was his name?
Odin Lloyd.
Odin Lloyd would play, and obviously it's not the XFL. It appears to be a Parks and Rec league of some sort, but full pad, adult, tackle football. I assume Dallas definitely has a version of that. I'm not aware of it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Like, there are dudes who are well out of eligibility or aged out that just want to keep playing tackle football on the side, and it's probably no different than adult hockey.
Yeah,
which
I never
for some
really
reason
heard of
think,
anything like that.
Oh, yeah, dude. If you look, you can find it.
Tackle football.
For sure, because even like the flag leagues I've played in, they offered full 11-on-11 tackle football.
So... I guess what I'm saying is after watching all these games, I'm more than happy to talk rule changes or do I think it will exist and, you know, all of the positivity on the broadcast. And, man, there was some real positivity. I feel like ESPN probably went the most over the top, but they would interview Oliver Luck, Andrew's dad, and, of course, he was calling that Dallas-St. Louis game a barn burner or somebody was like
yeah,
it was an instant classic or something like that, and I'm like, bro, this is like the worst game I've ever watched. But
even the sideline report there was like, this is what the league's all about, redemption.
Oh, yeah.
Story. They're not objective reporters.
No, but and, they're also not seasoned reporters in those cases. Like Joe Klatt does this on a regular basis.
Yeah.
It's Greg Olson here making his debut. Joey Galloway very early in the game. Pat McAfee's like, I'm on the sideline for an NFL game, so I'm gonna
big names though. Dude.
Yeah,
they had Levy.
Yeah.
On the first game with Greg McElroy, and Greg McElroy's kind of a big deal as far as commentating goes. Now, if you put the pom-pom stuff aside, which I almost thought they were doing sarcastically at some point.
Might have been.
Like, they were leaning so hard into the over-the-top, this is like something you've never seen.
Yeah.
If you just ignore that, it wasn't bad. It was a fun broadcast.
No, and honestly, I really love this sport, Dan. I really do, and I think I'm joined by so many. In fact, I think the number's getting bigger and bigger of people that would really give strong thought to just watching football all the time. Like, there's soccer fans like that all over the world that don't care about any sport but soccer, and they literally watch it year-round, and there's no off-season. And we're just in tune with off-season because we've given to this four-sport life or three-sport life that many of us just follow teams, and it's normal for the calendar to turn, and okay, we put all these away, and we take this out of its box, and here we go. I I think there's a market for it. I don't know to what end, and I don't know if it's anywhere. You know, the networks are interested because they see a chance for a real payday.
What was that?
Like, you know, Aikman, for instance, said really beautiful things about it. But as a Troy Aikman enthusiast who tracks what he says, I remember a very, very similar interview, I swear, at the San Antonio game last year. I feel like he's a football ambassador, and he likes what he sees. And you, let's get Troy on because he's Troy. And it's within the first 2 weeks of a new league, everyone's super optimistic, and the crowds are probably at their high water mark. And so I guess we see if this has more staying power than that one did. I don't know.
But even though like it's obviously an inferior product, I think it's better than the AAF. And they know that they have to make up for that inferior product by adding bells and whistles. And in this case, it was the transparency, which I love.
Like, the replay transparency or just in general?
The replay transparency, hearing the guy in the sky and the field judge talking to each other.
Yeah.
Hearing a head coach or an offensive coordinator giving the call to his quarterback and then having Joel or whoever draw the routes before they happen.
Yeah.
So it looks like you're watching Madden or something. Or even like in the game I was watching, the LA game, their quarterback got into a major dispute with a wide receiver about a non-converted route.
Yep.
And you heard all of it. And then you hear the coach, Winston Moss, telling him, like, chill out.
We're on
and
camera.
And the quarterback's yelling back at him. No, I gave him the signal. It was awesome.
Yeah.
That part of it anyways.
No, that it's that's great. I wonder if there are some competitive disadvantages to broadcasting live the play call.
Because when he got benched, and there were two times quarterbacks got benched, and that is a bad look because they walk right up to the guy, and he just turns his back like, this was fun when we were scoring.
Yeah.
But it's awkward. Here's a dude who runs off the field after bricking a 38-yard field goal. They stick a mic in his face, and they're like, what happened?
Right. Or fumbles.
Well, I missed it.
Yeah.
It's wild.
There's something here, Dan. I don't know what it is. I still think the only road to great success would be really having an affiliation agreement with the NFL teams. And I know that would make some complicated – you'd have some complicated hoops to jump through. Because NFL teams certainly don't want to lose their property to a catastrophic injury. Like a guy in the St. Louis-Dallas game broke his leg pretty clearly yesterday. Because they put him right in the air cast and carted him off. If that is even a member of your practice squad, I imagine it wouldn't take many of those for a team to say, what are we doing? We need these guys even for our off-season program. We need these guys for training camp. If they're just fodder, you know, cannon fodder for our real guys to get ready, you know, that's a headache that an NFL team probably doesn't want to deal with. But I think that's the only long-term road to viability and probably what the leagues are working towards. But anyway, all right, let's continue on here. Week two, dude, Dallas and LA. Something's got to give.
F in LA.
Can't wait. How about all the Joe Kemp camera time?
It was so weird. I guess it's because Norm Chow's probably one of the bigger names in the league that people remember from USC 10 years ago. But yeah, they go to the booth, and there's my brother sitting there doing quality control next to Norm Chow.
I was thinking of stringing all those shots together and to try to prove or disprove that Joe actually looked at the game at any point, because he's always looking down, really hammering that penmanship perfectly. And I want to make sure that he had a chance to watch the game, because it appeared he was going to get writer's cramp from those notes he was taking. But did you see all that, Dan? Did you see Joe?
No.
Joe is on camera as much as most of the players were on Saturday.
Yeah, he said.
Was he like Coach Joe? Coach Joe used to always find that camera.
No, he's sitting next to Norm Chow, and they have like a live camera on Chow giving the play calls.
Right, which, if you've been up in one of those booths or seen the shots before, he quickly figured out how tight the camera was and that dip cup might have to slide.
I was wondering,
over
yeah,
a little bit,
yeah, because everybody in those coaches' booths, of course, have dip cup or dip bottle,
right?
Yeah, you know about that, Dan. Don't want to take a swig out of the wrong one.
Well, that's how we used to do. Hey, dude, will you hold my dip cup?
That's exactly where that came from. All right, it's 108 at Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket coming up next. What did Michael Irvin say this weekend that got people all riled up?
Did you ever mention Jake's tribute to Kobe?
24
pieces of pizza? We're just talking Kobe tributes here.
Okay.
Off the air.
I don't know. What were some other ones you're discussing?
What was the golf one?
The eighth hole at Riviera, switching to a gold and purple flag.
That was on the air. Yeah.
Right.
But then we were talking about your report off the air.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We always do.
There wasn't even that much time.
They're quick like that.
Wow. Y'all are impressive.
Yeah, well, I've heard
always
her
talking sports.
I've heard her say that
Kobe.
So many times. You're already done.
Okay. It's quarter after one.
You guys know what I mean?
Totally. This is the Bob and Dan radio
brother.
Show. Just
oh, okay. That's a good one.
Just deciding what to ignore and what to acknowledge. All right. So to the National Football League, because Michael Irving,
like the city,
made some level of news this weekend because, you know, we have nothing better to do, and the Tom Brady thing is just too much of a source of light, Dan.
Can't believe we're doing this more.
For the moth to ignore.
Because this is like, we're doing the Skip Bayless show or whatever he's on, or the guys that yell at each other.
Well,
who's that? Screaming A. Smith. We're doing this topic.
Well, no, he's doing the Oscars post show, so it can't be. He can't be talking about Tom Brady.
That's what you get when
he's got UFC and Parasite to talk about now.
I guess that's what 10 mil makes you do.
I guess.
But I just mean, so I was looking at Michael Irvin headlines or little stories all weekend long. I'm like, damn. They were intimating that Michael Irvin is talking to top Cowboy officials about the fact that Tom Brady could be traded here and Dak Prescott won't be a quarterback for the Cowboys. That was the intimation I got from all these articles where it didn't say it, but Michael Irvin talking to people, you know, and he's really with the Cowboys. So then I'm like, man, I can't wait to hear this audio.
Okay, I want to separate two things. Before you play the audio, can I separate two things? One, the Cowboys are clearly negotiating, as they always do. They can't help it. They have their servants in the media who carry out their wishes. That is not a Michael Irvin story, but the Cowboys clearly let it leak. I mean, you don't even let it leak. You make up, in my opinion, that Dak wanted $40 million a year. That's, you know, in a league where the highest salary is Russell Wilson at 35. I'm sorry, that is just pure fiction. But you do it in enough plausible ways that, hey, Tom Brady. Or, you know, whatever. The distinction is that over there I find laughable. But I'm starting to come around on going from 100% sure to I'm willing to say it's less than 100% that Tom Brady plays for the Patriots next year. There's enough people who I trust who are taking this extremely seriously, and let me be the first to say I don't have a single idea what Tom Brady values, what the Patriots situation really is. I'm thousands of miles from New England. I don't have any idea. I know how Jerry and Steven work. Very familiar. And I have 100 examples that have made me as cynical as I am or as, you know, whatever.
Can I at least say this?
I think Brady might really be leaving the Patriots, and I might have undersold that last week when I said there's no way he's leaving the Patriots. There's enough people saying the other.
Can I say this? 100% well, is not the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, I agree.
Okay.
100%. Like, Phil
I'm
Rivers.
I think it's probably the Patriots.
Phil Rivers being the starting quarterback of a franchise this season that's not the Chargers is very, very likely. You know, and there will be some movement
this
year.
Well, they've already announced they're not.
But what I'm saying is he the Colts quarterback or what, you know, who is he the quarterback of next? That's interesting. There will be some quarterback musical chairs. I don't believe for a second the Cowboys will participate. They just want this Prescott deal to get done.
Okay.
Now, when Irvin comes out and says what he said on WEEI, is that where it was?
Yes.
Is that Boston?
Yeah. Well, that's the one that had the famous radio show faux pas there with
Don Yee.
Back with Aaron Hernandez, no?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But they also did a fake Don Yee
for his
agent, and I think somebody might have caught a week off for that one.
Yeah, they're all over Kemp's Spin. The whole WEEI file is ever growing.
Well, I'm going to ruin the audio a little bit by just saying, I think it's very anticlimactic when you hear what he does say. If you had read all these articles and you can't wait to hear Michael Irvin say how basically Stephen Jones told him they're really into this Brady deal. That's the way, after reading a lot of things this weekend, I'm like, wow, what did Michael Irvin say? Let's listen, but let's let you hear about a minute beforehand just so you can hear how Michael Irvin works his way onto a radio show.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Man, listen, you guys don't know how much you need me. And I'm here for you. You know, I'm just telling you, I want you to understand that, I know this may sound crazy, but I more than anybody understand withdrawals. And I want to help you through all of yours that you may go through.
How
he's the best.
Great is Michael Irvin. In fact, this is why people were rushing to give him a radio show.
Right.
When he retired, we learned that he's a great radio guest. If he has to do it for 3 hours a day every day, it wears thin.
Yeah.
But Michael Irvin, coke, hookers, the mink coat in court, all that went with Michael Irvin, the joint afterwards, a crack pipe found in his car, all that Michael Irvin has...
I feel like you're highlighting just the bad.
I'm just saying, all that he has had...
You left out the scissors.
Scissors in the neck of a teammate, but...
Allegedly.
I was going with the drug angle.
Right.
Because then he's like, no one knows what withdrawal is like me. That's great when you're trying to get off coke.
To cocaine for 10 years.
I'll tell you what.
And then everybody's laughing and, and then you would kind of think he would take the stance of recovering addict.
He also has
the farthest
wonderful,
thing from that, as you'll find out later.
He has the gift also of making whatever radio show he's on think that they're his best friends.
Oh,
like, wherever
yeah.
he is, whatever room he's in.
Don't you love running? I love seeing your interaction with him at the Super Bowl.
I enjoy several hugs. They make me feel like me and Michael Irvin are hug friends, but in reality, everybody is.
And I've told you before, when I run into him at training camp, he generally seems like he knows who I am.
Yeah, he's great at that.
But I don't think he does. Because then I saw him act like that towards another guy who, you know, just a fan who walked. Like, I think he...
A magnetic personality.
He's great.
Yes.
Anyway, here we go.
Through this time. That's what friends are for. So we shall not lose contact. Because that's the worst thing we can do right now when people are in the withdrawal state. Because they may fall back into their old habits as they're coming up out of things. So I will not lose contact. I'm going to keep your hand. I'm going to stay right there with you and get you through this. I'm going to pull you through the combine, take you to the draft, and get you back on your feet. That's what I'm going to do.
All right, so help
on behalf of all of us, thank you.
Help me through this part right here. I'm watching ESPN this morning, and they're talking about the subject matter is, should the Cowboys trade Dak Prescott, franchise him and trade him, and sign Tom Brady for a couple of years? That's not helping me through this.
Well, I can tell you something on that because I'm just telling you right now, and that Super Bowl in Miami, some very significant people and I had some conversations leaning in that same direction, and it was shocking. I mean, I had a vodka cranberry in my hand, and when they said it to me, I put the drink down and said, let's talk a little bit more about this right here.
So that's where I was focusing on the you know, guys who have been through his past might always be carrying the I'm recovering day by day. It's
right.
One day at a time and all that. You know, so I'm holding my vodka cranberry. And,
look, I pick the vices I'm still into.
Yeah. Try to lay off the coke, but, you know.
It's a very...
To quit everything. What are you crazy?
I'm the playmaker,
what are you,
baby?
Insane?
It's an amazing beverage standing next to the ocean. It just, it pairs well with the water.
But if you hear also, this is going to be basically the... What drove everybody to write headlines and then their articles?
Well, I can tell you something on that because I'm just telling you right now. And that Super Bowl in Miami, some very significant people and I had some conversations leaning in that same direction.
Okay. Very significant people and I had that conversation leading in that direction. That is as specific as he will get in this interview. A significant person to Michael Irvin. What does that mean? He talked to Brett Favre about it and laughed. he talked to, like,
I sense it's,
I don't feel like it's any
it's
member
guy,
of the Dallas Cowboys.
No disrespect to the playmaker. I hope we can share a hug after I say this, but it sounds like a guest giving you information that sounds a little more important than it actually is if you word it in a certain way. He's trying
to be a good guest?
No, he's trying to let them think I was talking to people that matter on this decision. Now, somebody will say, no, really, you're reading into that. He didn't say Steven. He didn't say Jerry. No, but...
So you're buying that it was a member of the Cowboys?
No, I'm not buying it. I'm buying that he was having a great time on a radio show and kind of let them know that I've been talking to some people, you know, that are pretty important. And they were actually selling me on why this is a good idea.
Which really could have just
That's not Rich Eisen.
Marshall Faulk saying, hey, wouldn't it be crazy with this Dak thing out there? Wouldn't
sure.
it be wild if the
That's
Cowboys
what I'm guessing.
For Tom Brady? And he's
That's
like,
what I'm
Whoa.
Thinking it is.
And I'm
Whoa.
Telling you, you're right.
He's a significant person, Marshall Faulk.
Yeah, but he could have said that. He could have said a former player who has nothing to do with the Cowboys. He worded it in such a way to, you know, let's spice up your show a little bit. I'm not blaming him.
Couldn't
I'm just
he,
simply saying that
if it was a member of the Cowboys front office, wouldn't he have said that to show what an insider he is?
Well, I think that it's difficult for us to fully assess what life is like as Michael Irvin or Troy Aikman or things like that, because when you talk to these guys off the air, they quickly tell you that they know when they say certain things, it's going to become a national story. And so they learn... At least some of them learn to really dial back what they say, because this is just going to create a fire I'm going to have to deal with in follow-up questions. Now, I don't know that that affects Michael as much as it might affect, say, Troy, or say, you know, anyone at Tony Romo. For instance, Romo knows when he's asked certain questions, they're loaded to become their own news cycle if he answers them in a certain way.
But I feel like Mike has always been almost a mouthpiece of the organization to say things and start narratives that they can't, because just like Jerry, Michael Irvin likes when people are talking about the Cowboys.
All right, well, now, I went into this day with a totally different perspective. You guys have kind of convinced me that the Cowboys planted this with Michael Irvin.
I don't know. I don't want to give you that, but he knows
and
that
it's a negotiating ploy.
He knows that people know that he's standing next to the Joneses anytime he wants.
And that they don't hate these rumors.
Right. Because
it's part of negotiating.
Because it helps get Dak back to reasonable. If, in fact, Dak isn't reasonable. See, we're flying so blind on all this. But keep in mind, 15 days from now is franchise tag day. Or at least, I think, the opening of franchise tag season.
Well, so they tag him, and then you still have a couple months to work something out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's going to have a contract by
well,
the time the season starts.
Then the next easy...
And they can't tag anyone else. That's
well, then the next thing is, well, how does Dak feel about this? Will he sign his tender? Will he show up for OTAs? Did you hear Dak has now gone to Los Angeles to work out on his own with his own guy? There's a lot of problematic news cycles between here and there, and you might say the whole time, this doesn't really matter. I will say each one of them does have some ramifications, even if it's just people turning on Dak Prescott for being greedy. Like I wrote about that this morning. You know, we kind of did a segment on that last week. It's just there are ramifications for a QB1 to take a Le'Veon Bell stance or a Zeke stance. It's far, far more, what am I thinking?
Detrimental.
Oh, it's huge.
Hot dog?
It's massive. No, not hot dog, but thank you.
Not hot dog.
So we'll continue to follow this story, but yeah.
There's only two answers.
Right.
Hot dog.
Or not hot
and
dog.
Not-
What's on the news?
Donuts and stuffed animals. Saving his pennies for someday.
Mama Leon. You can get tickets to see the Rolling Stones at the Cotton Bowl Friday, May 29th by texting STONES to 22126. Tickets for the Rolling Stones at the Cotton Bowl on Friday, May 29th will go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at AXS.com. But you can win tickets from the ticket by texting STONES to 22126. That's what it's all about. Mama, if that's moving up. All right, let's do the 130 news with Jake.
Here's mine.
Raising Cane's and Weapon Garage Doors.
I don't know.
I don't know.
For some reason, I looked over at Julie wondering, was she making that noise?
What if I did? What if I just randomly did that throughout the show? No, I don't want to do it.
Give it your best.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
We're on the board
that
already,
was
ladies
good.
Gentlemen.
That's pretty good. Thank
all right, I will
now we can
you
do the Which is Which segment soon.
I will direct you to
obviously
the... oh, there, yeah.
Bob and Julie.
Obviously.
To
the What is Slack Bad Radio channel, so you can see a video that went viral this weekend. The gentleman posted a video Saturday night that said, "This sums up my first strip club experience. I really do hope she's okay." And you will see Dallas stripper, her name is Janaea, at XTC Cabaret Dallas. Now, I've never been to a strip club that's got this sort of production behind it, largely because I've mostly only been in Mexico. But this woman appears to be, what, and I would guess 20, 30 feet up in the air on a pole and just crashes, like down to the floor. And to her credit, immediately begins to twerk once she hits the floor. But it looks like the type of fall that could kill you. And it went viral. Did you see it?
It's like Jake vomiting and then eating more pizza.
Right.
Pretty much.
We're the same.
Dude.
So this went
wow
soups vi over the weekend. I think it's got like a million views on Twitter. Like 135,000 likes, blah, blah. So it was right here in Dallas.
Yeah, I don't see the part where she gets up and starts performing again, though.
Okay, well, then that might not be in the video that the
just
news posted,
one,
but
yeah.
I can tell
gotta
you.
Get premium.
She
get
does. She does get right back on all fours and start throwing it back.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Seabass showed me this morning right when I got here.
Yeah, that's not that seem like an HR thing at all.
Hey, Julie, we
hey,
need
Julie
to see this. You're one
how
of the guys.
How many HR things could there be? Let's be honest.
You should go to HR on him whenever he starts telling you about some fringe corner outfielder.
I'm done with it, Sean.
Contract.
It was better this morning.
So this video was this video was posted, which led a lot of people to wonder, hey, is this woman okay?
Right.
Because it looks really bad. So enough people, I guess, when she saw that this went viral, were asking her about it, that she posted a video to Instagram and Twitter about 2 minutes crying, saying that she is okay, but that she needs to have surgery today. She had a fractured jaw, broken teeth, and needs stitches. Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, I don't really know how those, I think they're contractors, most likely, but a lot of people were telling her, like, hey, your employer needs to pay for this sort of thing, trying to give her help in that regard. But anyways, I wanted to bring this.
Think they have a good union?
Here, definitely not. Here in Strip Club Corner, I want to play a piece of her tearful statement, and you tell me, did she use it correctly?
Post this video just to say thank you and just let you guys know that I am having a hard time, but I am okay, and I'm going to be okay. It's just a really humbling experience to just be alive, you know? I'm really thankful for that. And
I think she did use it correctly.
Yeah, humbling?
1,000%.
Yeah.
I think falling 30
that is
feet
humbling
wearing a thong is humbling. But then even to say to be alive after that, I think that's also humbling.
Yeah. No, she nailed it.
So LeBron 0, Janaea from XTC 1.
Right. Passing Wilt or whoever on the all-time scoring list. And now I'm only up here with Kareem and Michael Jordan. Not humbling.
Okay, what about breaking your jaw, falling off a pole from 15 feet?
Very humbling.
Okay.
Humbling.
Okay.
You've been humbled.
I'm understanding
yeah, being
this
elected to the NFL Hall of Fame.
Not
humbling. No. You mean you're one of the best ever to be in the...
yeah.
Jake, was your pizza experience humbling for you?
I think so.
Okay.
I think that would have to classify as me being humbled.
Okay.
There's nothing
a
the listener
talk
enjoys.
Coming
or,
in,
yeah,
breaking Bob's sink, and then hauling it away in a truck after being an NFL quarterback for 9 years.
You know, humbling.
That's
yeah
humbling.
Yeah.
Yes.
But being an NFL quarterback.
Not humbling.
Okay. Right. This is the news people come to us for.
I think we got this.
We're good.
So I'd like to name Janaea the P1 of the day. If you, that's
are
okay
you willing
you
to kick it up to a true P1 champion?
Don't you
do
have
it
to listen?
Let's do
a
it.
A true P1 yeah champion.
I thought to be a P1 champion, you have to actually know what the station is. There's not
maybe
a chance she's ever heard
well
of
you heard
it
her shout out, Cirque.
No, that they're pretty booked up on that front, actually. Not P1 champion of the week, a 20-year-old Dallas man passed away over the weekend after he fell out of a truck window where the truck driver was doing high-speed donuts in a parking lot Saturday night.
This sounds very Jake.
This
Why are you putting it on Jake?
Okay.
It's 19-year-old Jake.
But enter into the caveat of my wild-ass background that thrill ride speed thing is not my deal. Like, so you can wreck a shopping cart with me in it. You can shoot me in the nuts with an airsoft gun, whatever. Pain, it's fine. I'm not into speed.
Okay, so you were not...
I don't want to go fast.
What movie were they surfing on the car, Bob?
Teen Wolf?
Yeah.
Like, I had buddies...
You want Teen Wolf.
That
I believe
would do
that's
the deal where
today's first Teen Wolf reference.
They could just be, like, on 820, and they would open up the back door of a truck or a car and just hold onto the car and just put their feet on the freeway. And we're going 50, 60 miles an hour, and they're just skating on the freeway. Not for me.
Did you ever skeech?
What does that mean?
I don't know, but...
I'll skeet ski.
No, that's a different word.
Sounds pretty dirty. And why did you say it with that inflection?
Yeah. I did not.
Did you ever skeech?
You guys ever skeech?
Yeah, the skeech is a northern thing, and it may be called different terms, but it's definitely on the snowy, icy days, just riding the back bumper with the flat-soled shoes.
Oh, so you're skiing.
So,
yes.
I've done that.
And it's quite dangerous.
But we would go like 10 miles an hour.
Well,
it still could
so
hurt
So that's kind
you,
of
but...
a another Michael J. Fox reference, because he did that in... with his skateboard in Back to the Future.
Yeah, it's the same concept, but this is just merely your shoes on the snow. This is before the plow shows up.
So DPD says that this is becoming a problem. They described what was taking place in this parking lot as a, quote, takeover event, and they are trying to push for new laws to curb these types of activities where a bunch of dudes who are, you never had me, street racers, will get together in parking lots and smoke their tires or do donuts or whatever. And people film it, and they're trying to strengthen the laws to where even being in these places, even if you're not driving, would be illegal. Filming it would be illegal, because in this case, part of the video has been posted, and there are dudes hanging out of the windows of this truck. The dude is hammering it and just doing donuts. Someone falls out of the truck, and it probably doesn't take you long to figure out that if you're doing donuts and someone falls out, you're going to run them over. The driver of the truck stayed on the scene and was arrested for manslaughter.
Boy.
DPD says that racing and speeding calls for service have been steadily increasing.
You shouldn't
for 5 years.
That driver, though. It's like the dude was doing it. Like, the dude has to know. Right? He'll never get convicted for that.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
As the operator of the vehicle?
I think that's you may not be going away for.
You're both
for
doing
forever,
the hey, dude, watch this, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a shared responsibility, and one of them's no longer with us.
Yeah, man, I think he's probably, that seems like a pretty open and shut case. Now, sentencing, he may not
You're not
forever,
very tough on crime.
Judge Softy over here.
Yeah.
I don't want the 99 years.
Just getting high and thinking about the pilgrims going to San Diego. Oh, wouldn't everything be better, man?
But from China.
And then one more quick one here. because it makes
it would be it would be interesting though.
They would have stopped in Hawaii for sure.
because this makes me think of a scene from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. There was a shooting at a North Dallas Dave and Buster's yesterday around 2 p.m. So not a midnight on Friday, not a 1 a.m. on Saturday where people have had too many Long Island iced teas while they do skee ball.
Skeet skeet.
Skeet skeet. This shooting at 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoon was the product of an argument over a stuffed animal.
Oh, no. For the when they were collecting their prize?
I guess so. And an innocent bystander was shot in the leg after two groups of people were involved in a confrontation over a stuffed animal, which led to an innocent bystander being shot in the leg.
I think I was just at that Dave and Buster's. That's terrible.
You think this has anything to do with ticket redemption?
It's a little more terrible since you were there.
Yeah, actually. No, I just have a better visual for this. But yeah, I bet it was over ticket redemption. What else would it be about? Like, they thought they had enough tickets, or they were disappointed. Right. They thought they could get something a lot better, and then they're like, here, is your stuffed animal.
I want the blender.
They had to settle for a whoopee cushion.
Yeah, like my 4-year-old.
They thought they could get the plush Marvin the Martian.
I swear I have enough for ball in a cup.
He worked so hard, and then they're like, here's your push pop.
Right.
He wanted, worst like, one of the big, the giant things. Yes.
And then you get all mad, and you're like, hey, you know what? My dad brought his gun in here.
Then
we have a fight, and then a random guy who happened to be a doctor gets shot in the leg.
Okay, so it wasn't the poor soul doing the ticket redemption behind the counter, then?
I don't think so, no. This is the Dave and Buster's up at Walnut Hill in 75,
yeah,
Julie.
Yeah, yep, yep.
That's your spot?
Yikes.
That's the one. We were just there.
Yikes.
You know, you can carry your booze all around there when you're playing games and stuff?
I've heard that.
Mama liked that?
Have you seen the big...
Mama did like that. You're right. Mama
today
did
is
like
an
that.
Absolute drop factory.
It is.
Do they still have
like
the big doodle jump
the
there
or something today?
What's that?
The
doodle,
what?
Doodle jump is an app you can play on your iPad, but they have a big giant version at
Darn
Dave
right.
Buster's. Do you still have it there? You've been there recently.
I didn't see that one.
What was the one at Grapevine Mills called that was a game place, Mino? Was that more of a Tarrant thing? They had like a 3-story shooting game where you would sit in
the
studio.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Elevate you and
that's
drop
right.
you down, and you're picking people off at different levels of the. That was bad.
What was that place called? That was pretty game changing when I came to town.
Like, yeah, whoa. Because you had, and you'd get like a game card, which made it feel like I had a credit card
that's
for the
right.
first time.
Yep.
Those were the days.
Can't think of it.
Now, well, that's
now
okay.
It's like Lego World or something.
Because there's your news.
Yay!
We learned a lot there.
There was a lot in that news today.
Okay, coming up next. Oscars.
Well, we're moving on up, moving on up to the east.
It is 2 o'clock. 1 hour left of episode number 5069 of Bad Radio.
Huh.
Nice.
Nice.
Very nice.
A lot of huhs going on.
Yeah. Heard Junior Miller mentioned on the morning show that, like, the Musers would be up here for the big afternoon announcement. I wonder what I can read into that.
Let's cut that back a little bit.
All right.
Oh, maybe he'll haunt it.
You don't usually announce a haunting. You just kind of show up. But I'm not here to mess with the Muser.
Shout Although, out to GameWorks, by the way.
I did hear there was a Muser fight, and we are looking into that.
I'd like to apologize to all my fans out there.
GameWorks with an E, I think.
What's your apology for?
The fact that
the
I couldn't
thing?
Remember a place where I spent so much of my youth.
Oh,
people
I know.
Are very mad because GameWorks was the best.
Are you saying you were never strapped into the game he's referencing, though, where it just shoots you into the air without?
I don't think I was.
I just remember the. The involuntary 3-floor
right.
And they had the Indy cars that were signed by Hansen when they performed in that mall in 1997 that I went to.
And as TC pointed out,
you saw Hansen at Grapevine Mills Mall?
It's my first concert.
Oh, wow.
I'm proud of it.
What year?
1997.
Dang.
Gay.
Just missed it.
Very gay.
I'm a big Grapevine Mills Mall guy. Don't get me wrong. Guilty as charged.
Well, I have some follow-up cross-examination here, but I'm going to let you go. I'm just going to
I've totally been there more times than you have.
Easy.
It used to be like every Saturday, that's what you do when you have a little kid. Let's just go to the mall.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't challenge you on that.
A little RF cafe?
You are.
Although I went up to that Louisville Mall quite a bit, too, because they had a better play area. The Louisville Mall did.
The Music City?
Well, it's now called the Music City Mall for totally obvious reasons.
So this is our Oscars recap, yeah?
Email tom1310 at gmail.com if you want to complain about that. Yeah, so the Oscars. And speaking of Junior Miller, I also heard him talking a little Oscars, and I kind of agree with him. I was thinking this in some form last night.
XFL versus Oscars. That's what he was saying?
No.
He would prefer?
No, I don't think they compared. But he was saying something I was thinking, but I couldn't put it into the words he put it into. But it felt like the Oscars were so white and male that you might think them giving Best Picture to Parasite or Parasite earning Best Picture was a little bit of a, boy, we could do a cover a lot of bases here if we just, you know what I mean? Like, it could stop a lot of criticism. Like, if we gave every award, you know, I mean, Best Actress was a white male this year. It was a lot of white men, but it was a lot of white for sure. And it just felt like Parasite, maybe a lot of people thought 1917 should be the winner.
Mm-hmm.
But that Parasite could be a big, bold stroke of diversity. And it was, but I thought Parasite was a great movie, too.
Yeah, well, and that's the cynical approach.
And I did not see
that...
1917, but I did not think Parasite was better than Joker, personally.
That's a cynical approach, though, that the NFL or the Oscars or big organizations like this that have repeatedly taken some wrong turns, they don't then get the benefit of the doubt when you see something like that win. You automatically want to question what's the agenda behind it, where I'm just seeing a movie that killed it.
Yeah, and that movie did kill it.
And I realize...
But when everything else was
that
so
some
light.
People will not allow a movie to kill it if it's not in English.
Yeah.
Like, that person exists. That's crazy to me. I love that movie. I really do. Now, I did not see 1917. I'm going to remedy that, but I'm holding out till when my brother visits next week. I want
to... Just so you have something to do and not sit there awkwardly in silence?
It's not that, but I...
Watch voice go up.
But...
No,
might be a tell. No, I actually thought he'd really enjoy it, and I know he's too busy to get around to it. So, yeah, that will be a little bit of our bonding as we'll sit a recliner apart and order food while at a movie about World War One.
They didn't have a host.
Which I'm sure is great, by the way.
So they didn't have a World War One was great, dude. We killed it.
It was an amazing war. Can we at least agree on that?
They didn't have a host, and the non-hosting began because last year, Kevin Hart was tabbed to be the host. The Kevin Hart homophobic tweet thing came out, where, hey, look at all the stuff Kevin Hart said in the past about bundles of sticks and British cigarettes. And they initially asked him to apologize. He did kind of issue an apology at first, but then he backed out. Cynically, I might, because I'm a Kevin Hart hater, I might think he just thought this would be a bigger way for him to get more pub. And it kind of was.
Mm.
For him to back out, it kind of made it like, look, the cancel culture we're in, blah, blah, blah. They didn't cancel him. They asked him to apologize. So they did not fire him from that gig, but he might have Michael Sammed it and realized this is better for me if I just... back out, and plus I then don't have to host and show everybody how I kind of have a bag. That's me. Anyway, but they didn't have a host last year, and they kind of liked it. They got better ratings than they had in a few years, and just thought, hey, there's really nobody is ripping the fact that we didn't have a host, and nobody's ripping the host, so what if we do that again this year? They did lead with Steve Martin and Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Want to hear a little of that? Or, you know what? And I know everybody doesn't listen to every second of the station, but I did hear the Musers play this, so I don't want to play that right now, only because I see we're limited on time. Let's go to something I haven't heard on the station yet, although it may have been. I haven't listened every second.
You should.
And I don't know what stood out to you, Jake, but standing out, of course, was Joaquin Phoenix's speech.
Yeah, you knew that was coming.
Where he talked a bit of speciesism. We were talking last week about PETA's ads, and it looks like Joaquin Phoenix is kind of on board with that. But Renee Zellweger kind of had a speech that felt Julie Instagram-y. No offense.
That's okay.
Gluten-free pizza.
I agree. That was a
I
drop.
Agree with that statement, actually.
And she appeared to not really be going anywhere. So she thanked a million, and she won Best Actress, so I think they give the Best Actor and Best Actress, like, hey, you get all the time you want.
Mm-hmm.
They don't limit you. So she's just going on and on for like 2 minutes or so about just thanking every person she's ever met.
She was talking in circles completely.
She was talking in circles, and then
I'm glad I'm not the only one that thought that.
Then we pick it up here, where she after she thanked everybody she ever met.
You know, when they unite us, when we look to
She's talking about our heroes. It's great because our heroes unite us.
Our heroes, we agree, you know, and that matters. Neil Armstrong, Sally Ride, Dolores Huerta, Venus and Serena and Selena, Bob Dylan, Scorsese, Fred Rogers, Harriet Tubman. We agree on our teachers, and we agree on our courageous men and women in uniform who serve. We agree
on first
responders and firefighters. When we celebrate our heroes, we, you know, we're reminded of who we are as one people, united. And though Judy Garland did not receive this honor in her time, I am certain that this moment is an extension of the celebration of her legacy that began on our film set and is also representative.
All right.
Well, one, pills. And two, I know Venus and Serena are an inspiring story, but to compare them to a woman who housed slaves risking her own life for years, I don't know. Underground Railroad or the French Open?
Yeah.
Not sure they belong in the same conversation, but I don't know.
One thing I didn't know about Renee Zellweger when she started this speech, she did say in her speech she's the daughter of immigrant parents who came over here, and now what a success story. Look at me. I'm a success story. We see very few people in Hollywood that are like, that don't have, well, my dad was at the very lowest, a key grip or something, right? You find out later, oh, their dad was a director. Their mom was in a musical score person or something, you know? So it kind of makes you think, You could not go out to Hollywood and live the dream because you kind of have to know somebody. But apparently Renee Zellweger did not. She just had a bee sting face and got in a movie with Tom Cruise.
But her family was like Swiss nobility.
Oh, really?
And she grew up in Katy.
So am I...
No, you're right.
I painted her as a... poor
a street urchin?
A poor black child.
Like, like a Norwegian or Swiss family that is, I believe... very well healed.
Okay.
Not bussing tables.
I don't think so.
So like the Norm intern, they might be able to afford to work for free for quite some time.
Perhaps. Also, she's gone through about four stages of fake accent affect.
Yeah, she was country girl there.
What are you doing?
I think throughout this, she sounded like she had a bit of a twang.
Right. Sometimes it's kind of English.
I thought she was very Miss South Carolina.
Yeah. There you go.
We were looking for U.S. American.
More Miss South Carolina, less Julie Instagram. If we're being honest,
you know what?
Fair.
I'm going to allow
that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That works.
Dan was jumping to conclusions.
By the way,
but yeah,
were you able to watch that whole thing?
Very fast forwardy.
Yeah,
man.
Skip the commercials, skip the songs.
Saw Eminem.
Other than Marshall,
yeah, I loved Eminem.
What was up with
Will Ferrell? Had some funny bits.
The mix was just completely screwed. His mic was way too low.
Man, that was horrible.
And by the way, speaking of way too low. That was, the lowest number for ratings in maybe in history, but in a long time.
Oh, really? Last night?
Yeah.
Okay, I hadn't seen any of that.
It was it's a 5.3 among adults 18 to 49, which is well below the 7.7 of last year.
I would say fairly boring and run-of-the-mill the whole thing was.
The Parasite director was the only interesting part.
He was great.
But other than that, yeah, it's pretty boring. Christian Wiig and Maya Rudolph were okay.
Yeah, that was funny. We're acting. I like that very much. Now, I'm definitely walking in out of the room guy. So when...
Wife is fired up having a party?
I don't know. She's...
Mother-in-law still there?
No, but she might be back. It's complicated. That will need its own segment. But just the general... Oscars thing is just, I don't think it's the host. I wasn't going to stop you earlier, but it feels a little more like Monday Night Football. If you get a good host, okay, maybe that helps, but people aren't tuning in to see Boog or they're not tuning in to see, oh, I wonder what the host is going to do. It's a unwinnable battle, I think. I don't think it affects the numbers. I think it just allows that person to get filleted in the media for not landing that joke. Don't you?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, everybody in the whole crowd is famous. It's not like we need a name to really get people to think famous people will be here tonight.
Yeah, the host either gets ripped or gets nothing, right?
We needed more JoJo Rabbit. And
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm under the impression that I really need to see it because
I texted you that you really need to see it. I'm sure others are too, but yeah. Yeah, nobody needs to see JoJo Rabbit as bad as you do.
From your message boards.
I don't know if the poster says that, but I'm saying that to you.
It's got something to do with Hitler, right?
Oh, it's got a lot to do with Hitler. Starting with, I can't believe that this movie got made.
How am I typecast like this?
It's really unfair.
But let me also say this.
You know, the last 5 years, I've barely mentioned Hitler.
Do you trust my take on movies? Everybody says no. Brilliant, yeah. Brilliant movie.
Yeah, I do.
I loved it.
I trust your take on movies better than TV shows.
That's a weird burn, but okay.
Well,
you guys are jerks.
After Impractical Jokers, I'm just not sure what to do.
It was A and B for me.
That's it. It's 2:13. This is the ticket.
To Texas. It's just not the same since you went away.
2:22. Sports Radio 1310 96.7 FM The Ticket.
Hello. Alright.
So somewhere amidst all of this, this huge XFL weekend, the NFL had the nerve to try to rain on that parade, Dan, by dropping a new season of All or Nothing right over the XFL's big debut. How could they? How could they? But away we go as the new All or Nothing. And they really have not fallen in love with what time of year to release this, have they? They have gone from right before training camp to draft week? A couple years ago when it was the Cowboys. I think the Panthers might have been actually during camp last year, if I'm not mistaken. And then now, 5 days after the end of the Super Bowl, NFL Films has decided to spend a year with the 2019 Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm in on all this stuff. I've definitely heard from Cowboy fans that just don't want to deal with watching the Eagles, especially knowing that the Eagles will have a pretty fun time a couple days before Christmas at the Cowboys' expense. My view on this has always been, man, take me behind the scenes of any NFL team anywhere having any sort of season, and I'm interested. And I think you're kind of there, although I think... Were you into the Panthers? I mean, you watched it. I'm trying to remember how much you liked it. Maybe you're not quite as
I do.
Brainwashed as I am, which just A-pluses every season of NFL film stuff.
No, I put grades on them. I like certain ones better than others.
Okay.
I recall the Panthers. I feel like the Panthers was going in a direction I did not like, which seemed more like promotional tool of the team. And it felt to me like the owner of the Panthers saw this as a good way to introduce himself to fans and to show how great everything's going to be.
How many have you watched?
Of this current one?
Yeah.
Oh, one.
Okay.
I plan to watch one a week.
A little over one.
Because I'm trying to decide if this is that.
Right now, I would say...
Probably.
There's about 300 of these. I'm guessing. Maybe it's 200, but... Of your Hard Knocks, All or Nothings, NFL behind-the-scenes shows that have come out over the years,
okay,
over the decades, let's say there's 300 of them. I would rank this episode as number 300, the worst one I've ever seen. There was no... Okay. I mean, at least they've had a template set up in the past where, you know, Jeff Fisher, I get to see his full meeting when everybody first gets in and how they run things. That's what I'm interested in. How do they really run things? Behind-the-scenes stuff. You know, when we have people sit in studio, they're like, they love seeing things we think are mundane, but they love knowing, you know, how it kind of works, and that's what I want to know.
Well,
I don't think we got a lot of that.
Hard Knocks starts, though, with them lining the field. All or Nothing just throws you right into week one, though, right?
Well, often it'll just be like there'll be at least something. There's at least a kiss before you, you know, do it. You know what I mean?
This one, the kiss was watching Carson Wentz throw to DeSean Jackson and debate how to break it out.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of interesting.
No, there was not a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, and I thought it was like two... You know, it was a 45 minutes, the first episode. Included in that were two 15-minute recaps of the first two games. And if you've watched the NFL, you kind of know what happened, and it reminded me and everything. And those were kind of cool games, and it was a cool little NFL Films thing. But that's not what I'm here for.
Right.
I'm here for behind the scenes. Good, bad, whatever.
This one was
not
more
just
nothing.
Your daughter singing, and she's cute. You know, that the daughter was cute.
Yeah. She was. Brandon Graham's daughter. Adorable.
But I don't want to see that. I've got a daughter. Jake has one if I want to go see a current baby. I'm not interested in that guy's baby. Don't care. It was a cute one-minute thing, but don't make that like the best behind-the-scenes thing in the whole show, which I feel like it was.
Which we're going to find out real quick how they're going to approach this deal later in the season, because they had some real problems in Philadelphia this year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, tons of them.
Yeah.
So if they completely...
What part of the season did they all start pulling knives on each other?
And I feel like that was right around week 10 before they bounced back, and that's when you had Josina get involved and Alshon Jeffries.
Man, I even think earlier.
The media and Howard Eskins involved.
I think by the time they got to Dallas, which was probably only week 6 or 7, I think there were already signs of... Or maybe it was the Dallas game that made it happen. Because you also had the Skandrick stuff in there. He had some real wild stuff along the way with the 2019 Eagles, to the point where by early November, every one of those wide receivers was gone.
And boys didn't stick.
The DNA guys, boys, did not have a very full attendance record this year.
So, like, I think right in the beginning, they got me thinking this is a promotional thing, because they're talking about as they lost the playoff game the year before. Here they have a little news report. Here's like 20 seconds, and they show Doug Peterson in the locker room as players are filing into the locker room.
The Eagles' incredible run has come to an end. Take a look at the emotion coming off the field. Doug Peterson waited for all of his players to leave the field and gave them hugs. This team is so close, and they say they will be back in the playoffs next year, but they know some of their teammates won't be back.
Like, just like they were doing that as if this was an odd thing. Like, wow, this coach is giving every player a hug at the end of the season. What a tight-knit group. No other team is like this in the NFL, which I do not believe. It just from the get-go.
It felt like they had no access.
Yeah.
It felt like.
Where was the meeting room stuff?
It felt like there was none.
Whereas that's the Cowboy one I thought was fascinating.
It was. But I think it's
probably... I'm not saying they can't do that, but...
No, but to a certain point, I suppose that's on the team where... I don't know their incentive to say, sure, put a camera anywhere and show all the dirty laundry, but...
Well, they don't have a choice.
Well...
Right, typically.
I mean, did you see the slightest...
Well, they have to have a choice in some way because the Patriots are never on these things.
I'm even saying the amount of access they'll allow you to install cameras and stuff, it felt like...
They might be just, like, no, you're not having
it. It was just hard no. You can't be here. You can't be here. You can't be here. So good luck. And then it turns into a collection of montages of, you know, the Philly special from two seasons ago. Or, you know, they got some practice field stuff. Okay. But that's not behind the scenes very far. And otherwise, they're kind of working with WIP audio and just game stuff, like sideline stuff, which is fine, But it's not eight episodes fine.
Oh, speaking of Hitler.
Interesting.
I'll save it.
Ooh. Speaking of Hitler, next.
Hey, bro, Dan Cortese here. I never listened to Bob and Dan on the ticket, and like that, he was gone.
This major station announcement isn't minor, it's major. We just said that. Tune in, turn it up, and freak out this afternoon at 3:30 on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
Without you, my friend.
Your daughter died.
I'll tell you all about it when I see you.
I did like the...
We've come
a lot of Jake pizza videos and memes.
Where we began.
But did you see the one about the I almost had you?
Oh, yeah. That was one of my favorites.
And then a pizza telling me you never had me.
Dude, I almost had you.
Damn. Oh, no. All the planes. Log on to the ticket.com's contest page and register for your chance to win round-trip transportation to Houston, Austin, or Oklahoma City on a Von Lane luxury motor coach. Arrive minutes before departure, get an assigned seat with tons of legroom, personal space, and recline, a list of complimentary amenities, convenient arrival and right in downtown Austin, Houston, or Oklahoma City. Join Corby and now Junior. Oh. In extolling the greatness of Von Lane luxury motor coaches. Yeah, I didn't see that. Corby and Junior.
I don't know.
Together in that. So that makes a little more sense. So we're in the middle of Hard Knocks talk. Excuse me, All or Nothing. Hard Knocks is the training camp with different teams. All or Nothing is the regular season.
But we're worried.
We're worried about the direction of this show because it seems to be getting less cool instead of more, like less information. It feels like the first couple years they did this, it was great from the get-go.
Do you think the Cowboys broke it? Or does it make you feel less confident in the way the Cowboys handle their business that I felt like we were in every single meeting that was really important?
Yeah, and the other thing to, I think, be worried about is early in the life cycle, maybe teams are like, well, I don't know what this is. Okay, that sounds cool. And then they see seasons like the Cowboys and they're like, what
this
were we,
just makes us
what
look
were
bad.
They thinking? If this ever comes here, we need to do A, B, and C. And it feels like the Eagles have... allowed no special access to enter the season, which means, of course, it's only going to get worse as the season starts going off the tracks. So I'm not overly optimistic, even though, of course, I'm going to teach it a lesson by watching every second of it.
Oh, I'll watch it all. I do love these things, but because I love them, I have to be honest, Bob. I have to... tell them when they're not doing well, or else they wouldn't respect me. So one of the main things in this whole deal was the big takeaway I got out of it, like, because I'm cutting audio from it, is all I'm doing is cutting every time they show like a Philly radio station talking about the team. This is Philly radio talking about before game one.
Oh, what's going on, Philadelphia? God, we can actually start talking about real football. I never thought this day would come. We hope you're excited. We're all excited on this end.
Okay. I've not changed at all. I said in May, is it too early to say the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl? And I still think the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl. This Eagles team is, as we've discussed, potentially the deepest roster in the NFL, certainly among a handful of the most talented rosters in the NFL. Eagles start a Super Bowl run on Sunday.
Hey!
Pretty great, man.
Yeah, get fired up for
They're going to go win a Super Bowl this year. Get ready.
Boy, is that weenie in the butt.
Yeah, or the douche.
By the way...
Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I went back to my PFF manual or whatever those things are we read before the season. No one was saying this is the most talented roster in the NFL / the deepest roster in the NFL. I believe there were a few people that said they could make the playoffs.
Man...
But no one was saying it's the most talented roster in all of the league. Were they?
There were some people that were really betting hard on the Eagles.
Okay, but...
The Ringer guys
Please
were,
back me up that they were saying... So they were saying they're better than the Rams roster. In fact, I don't know that anybody said they're better than the Cowboys roster.
This is blowing me away, too, but I do see them as the fourth best odds to win the Super Bowl coming into this year.
Then I'm...
But I don't remember that either. All I was thinking listening to that was, oh, I guess we just all say that. Because that's definitely what I was saying about the Cowboys.
Right. It's one of those things that was...
Well, they are. Well,
was said, probably was said even more in Philadelphia, but about halfway through the season, it was clearly a consensus. What were we thinking exactly? Because...
Here's the guys...
This sucks, and this sucks.
Here they're talking about DeSean Jackson.
The biggest takeaway from this game is there's nothing wrong with Carson Wentz. Oh,
we see that big throw to DeSean at the end of the first half. By the way, DeSean Jackson. Dude. DeSean Jackson.
Dude.
We all knew they were coming, and they got two of them.
Just happy it's over, you know, first game.
After the first game when he had two touchdowns.
It's impossible to, you know, have big games all the time. So it's going to be games they take you out. Just you got to be ready for when it's your time and your number called to just make the most out of it.
I don't ever remember coming into a game and saying, oh, this one thing is definitely going to happen. We were like, a deep ball to DeSean is a lock of the century. They're going to score a deep touchdown to DeSean. And then it happened twice. It's just crazy. It's awesome.
It is awesome. So these guys appear to be kicking it way positive. And apparently Philly...
I think that's on the other Philadelphia station.
Okay, because
like
then...
the game or something.
So things are going well before the season. We're predicting Super Bowl. During the season, two touchdown game by DeSean.
You're not going to believe a city with a real giddy, positive flagship station.
We're going to play the positive guys. Now, they lose against Atlanta... And we're going to go to Angelo Cataldi, who we may remember from his weekly with Gabe Kapler. We'll play you some of that to remind you who he is in a minute. But so now they're after the Atlanta game, which was in their grasp and they lost. And guess who's not happy? Angelo Cataldi.
I am so damn frustrated right now about what we witnessed last night in Atlanta. I've been extremely bitter all morning. It was a heartbreaking loss. Wentz, he throws the ball to Aguilar down the sideline. Aguilar is a better receiver than he used to be. Because the first few years here, there's one thing he was great at. Dropping the football. Mm-hmm. All Aguilar's got to do is grab the ball and run for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. There's nobody there. He catches it, runs it for touchdown. Final score, 27-24. It was gone. It was over. We're ahead again. Yes. We're ahead again. He didn't catch the ball. How do you not catch the ball? The 40-yard catch you made after that set up the Eagles for another chance to win, was not a touchdown. The one you dropped was. But that wasn't it. Zach Ertz, who is the best tight end in football, you see the flag. Wouldn't you go a yard or two beyond just to make sure you'd still have the first down? It was excruciatingly close. But it was not a first down. I'm going to lose it today. When will this not hurt so much?
Gosh.
Bro, it's week two.
It's week two. I just want to hear you almost needing help getting out of the studio.
But to you guys' point, that might have been the time where I wanted to hear from Nelson Aguilar.
Right.
Other than him just sitting
Philly
at his locker.
Radio guy.
Right.
With dramatic music.
To make it sound like it's somewhat good.
Yeah, I can take a season of the Eagles. I can't take a season of Angelo.
This
reminds me of too much Leon in season 9 of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Is a little bit of Leon? Okay. Too much Leon? Like making him the star of the show and like Larry is bouncing off Leon? Pass. And I'm very concerned about how much Angelo Cataldi was on this episode.
Yeah, how about the locker room after?
Because he's horrible. Yeah.
The locker room after. The sideline when he comes back after missing that catch.
Dude, I mean, in the Cowboys season, we would have had somebody standing up in front of a meeting room and apologizing.
Yeah.
Like, that sort of stuff is what we were seeing.
Yeah, their weekly meetings.
Right.
Those were fascinating. I like to see just quarterbacks sitting there breaking down the film.
I like to see the entire Jones family in on a Jason Garrett offensive coaches meeting.
Right. Those seemed like they didn't know the camera was there. It was just up in the corner of the room, and they just filed in for their weekly meeting.
Paper football in there, and...
You may be right. They
Steven's
may have just
got his
said,
goalposts up.
We've seen how this has gone in the past, and we're gonna lay out some rules if you want in on the Eagles.
And then
if you want in on the Eagles Super Bowl run.
Yeah, and I'm positive NFL Films is in a bad spot because once there's an agreement in place and once you start the season, you kind of... They can't just pack up and leave. They promised Amazon a season, right? But this is a very early, early disconcerting sign.
Let's play some Angelo Cataldi when he was with Gabe Kapler. And he was criticizing one of the players for not hitting the ball or something. Gabe is explaining how the players, what he was going through, what was going through his mind anyway.
You think the slider's coming. You see slider out of the hand. The ball accelerates through the zone. It's a fastball. You walk back with your bat on your shoulders. Now, I've had conversations with guys, Angelo, about their mindset and what they're telling themselves, what they're saying to themselves in a pinch hit at bat. In this particular case, I know. I get what Goss was going through. He was looking slider off speed, something from Rich Hill that wasn't a fastball, who had struck out 9 batters in 7 innings. Not crazy to think that you guess wrong. That simple.
Right. I wouldn't have guessed with 2 strikes, but everybody has their own approach. Let me get to the Gene Segura.
See, I thought that was the funny. Like,
yeah.
I mean, everyone, your players have their own approach. Angelo Cataldi has his approach when he's going up for that at bat.
Here's what I'm doing.
I mean, when I'm cold off the bench, what I like to do is have a little more knowledge.
I like to sit fastball in that situation.
That's me, though.
Right.
That's how Angelo Cataldi does it when he digs into the batter's box.
No one benefits more from playing this than us. Imagine, like, if a ticket host said that.
Unbelievable.
But that's just
me.
I
would have sealed the edge there, you know?
But that's me. You know? I mean, I stay at home. Right. I understand my assignment.
That's where I go with my cross chop, you know? And then just kind of work back inside.
Well,
the contrast of him before game one and after game two, pretty glorious.
Yeah. That's
if we want to do this every week, that'd be cool. That's a better pace for me than watching them all at once. But All or Nothing is on Amazon if you're into that. And it's featuring the Eagles and Angelo Cataldi.
Our review, we're concerned. Right?
Yeah, this first episode was not good. But if it continues to suck, we'll just watch it so you don't have to. It is 10 till 3. This is The Ticket.
It's the sports bully, Bob Sturm, and the sports humorist, Dan McDowell, slamming into each other in the baddest of sports talk ways on Bad Radio. Every day at noon on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. Once again, Bad Radio presents Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Birthdays, they have all been read.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Sturm and Dan McDowell.
What? I love Coney the Sterminator,
all right,
baby.
All right. All right. All right. All right. Mino?
Happy New Year, Bob. A1 Locksmith brings you Danson.
I don't even know what that means, but thank you.
Happy New Year.
And in studio right now appears to be...
Happy New Year, Mocha Joe.
Wow, this might be the new hardline. I'm seeing Corby... And Killer. Was I not Corby supposed Davidson. To say anything now?
Dude.
So.
3:30?
Did Killer release his video early?
Well, Killer's.
How will the rest of the board at Killer Oil handle
Oh, my
this?
God. So, Killer, I mean.
She would never let him.
So.
He can't be getting home every night at 7:30.
He's so powerful, though.
Where have you been again?
Oh, I told you.
My radio show.
New afternoon talk, afternoon host.
But I don't golf anymore, honey.
For 2 hours.
Your food is cold.
Would you listen?
Absolutely.
Me too.
Like once.
Oh, jeez.
Just while driving in the car from... the LAX to training camp. That's the last time I heard Killer in extensive radio performance.
What'd you think?
I loved it. Bob had us turn it off. Well, actually, Bob slowly turned it off.
Bear Stew?
Fight to get a new wagon and stuff to sleep in.
What? Just got a little too uncomfortable, and you just slowly turn it down. It was
tell my phone's going dead
and
here.
And wasn't Killer in the car?
It was the second... I think it was the first time he ever did a podcast.
Yeah.
So you have to remember the first time you ever broadcast.
It was good.
And he put out an hour podcast, and Bob is like, hey, I heard you put out a podcast, killer. Let's all listen to it.
Oh, let's crap all over this thing.
It was not the spirit of what we were doing.
No, because it was like...
What was it in practice, though?
It was.
Just wasn't a well-thought-out play. Bob just saw something and thought this would be a good play.
And didn't you say...
I heard Killer dropped an album.
We listened for like
dive in
15, 20 minutes. No one said a word, and Bob just kind of slowly turned it off.
It was not that bad.
We never said a word about it since then. This is the first time we've ever said a word.
Didn't you guys describe it as Bob was slowly turning down the radio, that you had to distract Killer with, like, Oreos as you were passing in the bag? Oh, Oreo, I like that. Oh,
and
good.
Just quickly turn it off and
food.
Well, pretend we weren't actually doing it.
Oh, Oreo, I like that.
Well, Dan actually... Didn't you try to tell Killer that we were out of range of his podcast?
We're losing signal here.
You're an engineer.
Oh, okay.
The tower is a little...
I get it.
Hot blanket chip. Do you have any more chocolate or vanilla cookie?
We must not be close to a tower.
All right, didn't follow up on the Hitler Eagles show tweet.
Oh, okay.
Follow up. I just put it on Twitter.
Okay.
The old at bracket Dan there. So my daughter pointed this out to me. I did not bring this up.
Your daughter.
But the apple fell very close.
Okay.
So she says,
your daughter died.
Look how his mustache doesn't grow in the middle there. She said it's like Hitler, but backwards.
A reverse Hitler.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Cannot grow look at the picture a Hitler on, mustache. He can grow everything but.
He's like the Amish Hitler.
Call that a catfish.
Take a look at it.
I see it, and I...
You agree? There's no hair in there.
A fine observation.
It also kind of looks like he has some herpes, whereas Hitler would be.
That might be a scar.
Or a cleft palate.
Mm. Oh, you still think it's funny, Jake?
So...
Okay, here we go.
What should we do with that joke?
So today is Monday, February 10th, 41st day of the year. 325 days are left in 2020. Apparently on this day...
I got Wendy Williams in trouble, you know.
On this day in 1920.
That's right.
Boy, this is where you really need Mike.
Source for all your Wendy Williams news.
Baseball outlawed all pitches involving tampering with the ball, including the spit ball, the emery ball...
What is that?
Shine ball, Lucille ball... Oh, I think that's fake.
Which one is fake?
Anyway, the shine ball, I believe, was one you put a little shoe shine on the ball.
What's the emery ball?
You ever heard of an emery board? It's like a nail file.
Oh.
Boy, Ty just talked down to you, bro.
Yeah, dude.
You ever heard of an emery board? Scrow.
Got to get my licks in before 3:30.
The authority of Diamond Talk.
By the way, so I've been saying scrow a lot because I heard Junior Miller say it at Super Bowl, so I've been calling people scrow.
Okay.
And I'm calling my daughter that. Does it mean, like,
scrotum?
Scrotum?
Yeah, okay. It does. So you're calling your daughter scrotum.
I'm like, hey, what's up, scro?
Yeah.
And she seems to respond.
Come on, scro.
Well, there's a...
What's up, Hyman?
Touching tribute that... What?
That's her response back. And that was a drop.
Well, you got to pick one. You can't say both of those things.
He executed it. He did that in there, the guy with the
hair. He came up with that as he was saying that.
No.
You can't fire out two different ideas that contradict each other.
P1 Minnow wishes happy birthday to my friend Kim Vance and Gary Bush. Happy 14th birthday to the E-Break caller, Dade the Influencer Manly.
Ugh.
His leaders are Bob, Line 4 Guy, and Junior.
Okay.
He said, the guy that sent this says, too young to send a pic. I don't know that you understand what the picture thing is about. We don't want a 14-year-old's picture.
No, your mom.
His mom. Now we're talking.
Right.
P1 Justin Bro.
Scro?
Boy, you think his last name is really B-R-O-U-G-H? Wouldn't that be awesome, bro? Hey, bro.
Bro.
Bro, you're a scro.
Coach Bro.
Would you book him? Just so you could say, hey, bro?
Yeah.
Like you did with Holmes. Yeah. Larry
okay,
Holmes.
Bro.
So, Holmes.
His leaders are
Dandy Reed.
Excuse me.
Which is the fake Andy Reid, I think. Bob and Saroy.
We're making some headway today. We're closing in on the leaders.
P1 Skyler. His leader is how much Josh Bogorod looks like Buster Bluth without glasses. Oh, and David says, I vote for Killer's old podcast, where it's him, a girl, and a six-pack taking over Afternoon Drive.
That's right. What's a cookie?
What's the six-pack's role in this?
We drink it and we get a buzz.
Just have a little headphones.
Wasn't that one of their things?
Headphones
one of the iterations of his podcast was they would drink beer.
Is his wife aware of this? Like that he used to do a podcast that involved a six-pack?
Better question is his wife's dad.
I think we can make that happen.
Connor says...
So, was it like a alternate idea from the paper towel with the headphones on it? Was the six-pack with the headphones on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they would casually drink.
So, six-pack is beer number one.
What do you think?
So,
he's kind of turned into the count.
We're going to pick the games for the weekend.
He's still be good at number one.
Connor says, happy birthday to Scott Chandler's little sister, Deborah.
Interesting.
How come Scott Chandler didn't tell me he had a sister?
We are just finding out
how
about this.
Little? How is this like second marriage little, or is this like 25, 30?
Scott Chandler's pretty old, so he has an under 18 sister, so I think you're cool.
But what if a dad got remarried and had a second family like you're going to do someday?
Oh, what a dream.
Oh, I'm
second
respectful
family?
To all Chandler sisters. I want that noted.
Yeah.
And Sports Fuhrer, it is Steve Baker's 50th birthday. His leader is Norm's Leftover Studio Toenail Clippings.
It's a real thing.
Would like to hear Jake bragging.
Well, fresh out.
I don't think we have any of
buddy.
That. Okay, I'm 30.
Whoa.
When I talk to most people that are 23, they seem worlds younger than me. I saw a guy in a cane jersey last night. I used to clean the bathrooms at a grocery store.
I'll take 48 over 18.
I'm a bed reader. And yeah, I imagine I'll be hearing that for years. Maynard's where I got caught stealing condoms. I've been to Munich.
See, you just wandered in here? Kind of casually, like, what's up?
Hey, guys.
Donovan?
What?
Wait, I thought it was Killer. Why is Donovan here?
Why is that music playing?
We're playing Martin.
Yeah, are you just playing
Martin?
You
could sue.
Have we posted the video yet?
You have video too?
So it's you and Killer?
I've recorded like 10 different videos with 10 different people.
With alternate endings.
Right.
Commentary.
In today's birthday, sports birthdays start with Lenny Dykstra.
Yeah. Prison? Right?
Greg Norman. Ty Law, Mark Spitz.
Prison. Lenny Dykstra went to jail for financial crap, right?
I think that's right.
Because he had like a video game company that went belly up.
And he have like a car wash scene of some sort.
Who had the video game company?
Kurt Schilling.
Okay.
Our local birthdays, sports birthdays include
hardcore right-wing baseball players mixed up.
Phillies.
Yes, I am, yeah.
Daryl Moose Johnston.
Moose. Happy birthday,
Johnson.
Bud.
Orlando Scandrick. And Mike Ribeiro.
Wow.
Who does not watch porn. He makes it. Were you there, Donovan, when he said that?
Absolutely.
Same day we had who on? Either one.
I don't watch porn.
Oh, some hockey guy.
Yeah.
Yager?
Mike Ribeiro. The other guest that day.
Vampire Weekend.
In the St. Paul press box.
Ralph's dad.
Ralph's dad. Very nice.
Ralph's dad.
Donovan doesn't even pay attention to the show.
Remember when Mike Ribeiro got hammered at a sushi restaurant, got a big fight?
Kempspin. Elsewhere we have...
No, just me.
Robert Wagner. George Stephanopoulos. Jake.
That's a Big Bird's friend.
That's Snuffleupagus.
Thank you.
That's good.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Good one, Bob.
Beat me to it.
That's a good one, Bob.
Glenn Beck.
Jake. Oh, legend. Ooh.
Vince Gilligan.
Doesn't he still live here?
Friend of Bob and Dan. Vince Gilligan.
He is?
Very good friend.
Have y'all had him on?
Oh, yeah.
When?
Did we?
We have. You mean Kirk Sutter?
Oh, I was thinking of Kirk Sutter. We're very good friends with Kirk Sutter. We sat in his trailer.
Do you play golf with the strike team?
Did not.
Hello.
Corby one-upped us again.
Laura Dern celebrating her birthday with her Oscar.
Oh, she won the Oscar last night?
She was great in Marriage Story.
And Elizabeth Banks.
Dude, love her.
And Adam
would marry her right now.
I would absolutely marry her right now. Actually, I would just be her side piece to your wedding. You could marry her. And then just me on the side a little bit.
I would take that because I'm going to do the same thing with Brie Larson, so it'll be
actually,
fun.
I would be happy just watching you two make love. Yeah. I never have to be involved at all, but I want to be in the room with one of those night vision things.
It's pretty good with
Why would you need night vision? Like with the lights on? Didn't that hurt James Gunn when they turned the lights on?
It hurt the Step Brothers.
Yeah.
In the Step Brothers movie.
Didn't hurt Paris Hilton.
Hmm.
I don't know
now,
about that one.
Here's some spares.
Go!
If you like spares.
Go!
Ooh, we got some deads, bro.
This is pretty good.
Everybody
spares.
Knows
some
hanging around in a little bit.
About the
gentlemen
deads.
May cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace.
Here, just grab a seat.
Why stand we here idle? Is peace so sweet?
Wait a second. Look who just walked in here now.
Wait. That's the morning show's Craig Jr. Miller.
I want that job.
Did you guys get my retirement video? Are you ready to play it?
But the killer was just here.
Oh, wait, are we on the air?
And Donovan was here.
Are we on?
We pulled the curtain.
Look, you're going to have to fight Killer.
Because
he was in here first.
Fight Killer?
Yeah, to get the three,
well, to get
the
in
three
here.
To seven job.
I'm taking Killer.
To seven, Junior.
Killer $20 on
first.
Killer.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Because I'm retiring, so...
Oh, okay.
We're going to make everybody fight each other.
Killer can have it.
It's a new way of setting the lineup card. CJ Anderson, 29.
Rangers TV guy.
No. Had a big playoff game against the Cowboys last year. John Calipari, 61. Hey! Oh, look at this, Corby.
It's an Italian dish, octopus.
Alex Gordon is 36.
Hey, by the way,
I met the new
guy outside.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Pretty good guy?
I think he's going to work well with you.
Okay, so guy.
It ain't me, Daddy.
All right, we've eliminated 50% of the population. Good.
Cesar Torres is 40.
This is like an Indian wedding for me. I haven't met my partner yet.
But your parents traded it for a bag of maize. Paul Millsap is 35 and some raccoon pelts. Zaza Pachulia, 36.
Zaza.
Whoa.
Pinklin Thomas, 62.
Fighter.
Stinklin.
And look at this, Dan.
How's brother.
I'm sorry,
Stinklin.
What?
Go ahead.
I said, how's his brother Stinklin?
Benny Thompson.
Ah.
Is 57.
The original guy who got penalties for pretending to pee on something in the...
That's right.
After a celebration.
Kind of all fours. And
I'll just give you one dead for today. Okay?
The deads.
It is dead on this day, still dead. Jake? Mino, will you hold Jake when he falls into your arms?
Again?
Died on this day, still dead.
Ryan Dunn.
Jim Varney.
Oh.
Wow.
Ernest died at the age of 50.
And he looked
knowing
great
that Pee-wee was so much better than him, funnier, and would live way longer.
I think he had to die because he knew you had that terrible opinion and he couldn't take it.
Yeah.
Well, what a loss for all of us.
He was working out
Five,
the movie Ernest Goes
four,
to
Four, three, two, and
Ernest Goes to Purgatory.
Shut it down!
Did Ernest did it?
Let's go! Take care.
Take
That's
care.
Very disrespectful.
Sorry.